WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
In hour number two of the program here on Wednesday morning, and we'll take your calls at 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Next hour will be your first Money Talks code of the day, and then we'll have a code every hour through 5 p.m. Each code your chance at winning $1,000. And all the details are at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. It's brought to you by Long Moving and Storage. And it's a way that we can kind of reward you for listening all the time. As I always say, you're listening anyway. You might as well get paid for it, right? So if you remember, and certainly we can talk about some of the things that we've been discussing through the course of the morning, that crazy case in Stoughton where a political candidate called a local paper pretending to be a reporter from the local college paper and got caught, yet still won. Still won her race. When Matt comes in later, I got to talk to him about that because I'm sure they've been discussing it in class. That's just nuts. When it happened, I sent it to somebody and they said, well, there's no way she's winning now. And, I guess we were wrong. Also, yesterday, you know, if you remember, I mentioned yesterday was the 35th anniversary of the debut of Twin Peaks. I put out an article yesterday at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app that there's going to be a little bit of a Twin Peaks connection in New Bedford this coming weekend because the New Bedford Art Museum has been having its Noir Nights series of film screenings, and coming up on Sunday, they have a screening of Laura, which is the 1944 film that partially inspired David Lynch and Mark Frost's Twin Peaks. So you can read more about that on the website and on the app. But, so I mean, that's the thing. There's so many great opportunities to watch older films on a big screen. When the Zeiterion is back up and running, I'm sure they'll be doing their film series again, where, if you remember, now they had a couple of different types of films that they would show. They would do old silent films with the organ accompanying the movie. And then they were going through the decade series, where they would show, like, they showed Indiana Jones for the 80s. They showed Pulp Fiction for the 90s. A chance to see some of these films on the big screen again. I went a couple of years ago to an event. It was probably like 6 years ago now. But there was an event in Worcester where Chevy Chase was there for a screening and a Q&A of Christmas Vacation. And so to get to watch that on the big screen again after seeing it when I was a kid in the theaters was pretty cool. Last summer was the anniversary of the original Ghostbusters release. 40 years of Ghostbusters. So I went to the one theater in Massachusetts that was showing Ghostbusters on the big screen. And it's fun. It's fun to be able to see something that you've probably seen 100 times, but that you even never saw on the big screen, or it's been so long since you saw it on the big screen, it is a different type of experience. And as big as my television may get, and as, you know, intense as the picture and the sound may be, there's still something about going to a movie theater and sitting in the theater, the communal experience with other people. And I'm hearing that from a lot of folks who are going out to see the Minecraft movie. Now, I have no desire to see this film at all. I don't know anything about Minecraft. I don't know anything about the film. I don't know. I wouldn't understand what was going on, probably. I mean, I'm sure I can follow the plot of the film because they're not going to make it just for people that already know about Minecraft. But I'm not going to know why people are clapping at certain parts. I was walking by Fun 107 earlier, and I heard them talking about it in Michaela's entertainment report. And Michael Rock made the reference. It's kind of like Rocky Horror, where people are like yelling things at the screen and having like these interactive moments. And maybe that's what it is, but I'd be lost. If you've never gone to Rocky Horror and then you go for the first time and you don't know what to expect, a lot of it might not make sense. My first Rocky Horror experience was October of 1996. The internet was in its infancy, at least in terms of my use of it. And I remember going to the UMass Dartmouth Library computer lab in the basement of the library and looking up, because I didn't have a computer at home yet, didn't have the internet at home, looking up on the internet, like, what do people do during Rocky Horror? And they had a whole list of items that you can bring and what you're supposed to yell when. So I had a little bit of a heads up on it. And I think I went to it by myself, which was unlike me in those days to do something on my own. Normally I would, you know, only go if there was a group of friends going. But I guess that's what this Minecraft movie is becoming, and it's been a runaway success, doing better than anybody expected because of that interaction of the audience in the film. And I don't always love that. Sometimes you want people to just be quiet in a movie. Certainly when I went to see Ghostbusters, I was annoyed by the father and son next to me that were reciting every line of the film. Like, okay, we get it. You know the movie. We all know the movie. But you're distracting me. But I also didn't want to ruin their experience either. So I just kind of stayed quiet, and I wanted to move seats, but it was pretty packed. But there is something about that experience. There is something about going to the theater and seeing it on the big screen. And I like having this movie subscription, because before I had it and before I could see three movies a week included in the subscription, I was very judicial about what movies I went to go see in the theater because it's pricey. When my ex-wife and I were dating, she always said that if we went to the movies, I had like an inability to be critical of a movie that we went to see in the theater. That I could never be like, yeah, that was terrible. And I was like, well, that's just because I like the theater experience. Even if the movie, I'm like, well, that wasn't that good of a movie. The experience of seeing it in the theater made it good for me. But also, you know, as movies are now, you know, $15 for a seat, you say, well, I don't want to go spend money on just anything. And prior to this membership, I would only want to go see something that I thought seeing it on the big screen mattered, or seeing it before somebody could ruin it mattered. But now I'll say, oh, go see this. What was the last movie I saw? I think it was called Presence, about the ghost that was haunting the house, and there was like a mystery that had to get solved. And then I was thinking maybe this weekend I might go see The Amateur. That looks like a lot of fun. Looks like a good big screen film. if I have time and I'm not too lazy. But so maybe that's what this Minecraft experience is for people. It's a movie where they would have said, yeah, you know, I would have been fine waiting for it to come on TV, because nowadays they come on TV within a couple of weeks of being released. You can either rent them at home for a cost, or within a month or two, they're on Peacock or Hulu or whatever. But I guess folks are really liking going out into the movie theater and seeing this with other people and yelling stuff at the screen and interacting with it and all that kind of stuff. So it's becoming a cult classic in addition to being the number one movie in America. And by the way, for those of you who are, you know, of this younger generation, and finding out that, oh, wait, what do you mean you used to have to wait for movies to come on TV? It used to be a year. You used to get it on video about 6 months after it came out in the theater. And then you wouldn't see it on cable TV until a year later. So the biggest movie summer of my lifetime was the summer of 1989. There were so many movies that I wanted to see that summer. And I did not get to go to the movie theater to see any of them. We had moved. We had moved from Plymouth to Sandwich that year in the summertime. I think we went on vacation. There was like a lot of things that were going on where we just never got to the theater to see any films. And that summer was Tim Burton's Batman. That summer was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Lethal Weapon 2, Ghostbusters 2. What else came out around? Bill and Ted. There was like something every week, at least one movie every week that I wanted to go see, but we couldn't go. So I had to wait for all of those to come out on video. And then because of the popularity of a movie like Batman, you know, they pushed the video release out a little bit sooner. So I think it came out in November. Because they wanted to get it out there for Christmas sales. But still, that was a long time to wait for a film back in those days. Now, it's just a couple of weeks. And people complain. Oh, you mean it's not available yet? What do you mean I got to still pay for it on demand? Why isn't it on Hulu yet? Why isn't it on Peacock? And I'll still hold on to that. At the summer of 89, best summer of all time. For 1989 overall, best year for movies. Anyway, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. The one good thing about watching a movie at home is you can make your own snacks. You can have dinner in front of the movies. And if you can do that, well, why not stop by the butcher shop, right? Because you can get yourself some nice already made food. Just sit down, crack it open, throw on a movie, or whatever else you want to watch, and enjoy it. It's a little chilly out there to maybe be out there grilling, but us true grill people, that's not going to stop us. We're going to stop by the butcher shop, get some nice thick steaks, throw them on the grill anyway, and just make sure that we go inside the house in between flips. But stop by the butcher shop, see all that they have to offer. It's not just about the meat there. We talk a lot about the meat because you're not going to get better quality meat anywhere else. That's cut exactly the way that you want it. That's going to be locally sourced and high quality and not sitting in packages for a couple of days. Like, beyond the meat, there's so much more at the butcher shop. As I say all the time, it is a true old school neighborhood market. When you walk up and down the aisles, you find a little bit of everything. And if they don't have it, ask them, they'll get it for you. You don't get that kind of service anymore. You can't walk into a supermarket and say, well, I notice that you don't carry this, but I'd really like to have it. Can you get it for me? And they say, no, sorry, it's not something our buyer can get. At the butcher shop, the buyer is you. You want it, you ask for it. If they can get it, they'll get it for you. So stop by the butcher shop and see the difference. See what it's like having that level of service that you either haven't had in decades or never got to experience. The Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Going to take a break here and we'll be back in a few. All right, we're going to be going into the newsroom with Mike Roberts in a moment. On the other side, we can take your calls, 508-996-0500. The New Bedford police chief job has now been posted, and we'll see if the applications start rolling in. I'm sure the internal candidates have their applications prepared, but are we getting people that are applying from other places? I don't know how many answers to that Mayor Mitchell will have later with Chris, but I'm sure it will be something that will be discussed later on South Coast Now. And remember, if you don't ever get to hear some of our programs, our local shows like this show, South Coast Now, the Barry Richards Show, Freedom Fools with Brian Thomas, or Brian's Beat, the Ken Pittman Show, if you don't get to hear those live, we always have the podcast available. And we'll also have a podcast of the all-new Paul Santos Show that'll be debuting on May 3rd. So Saturday, May 3rd is when we're going to have that new schedule kick in for Saturdays. We'll have Paul Santos in the morning from 7 to 9, Ken Pittman from 9 to noon, Jose Matos Money Matters show at noon, and then Brian Thomas moving Brian's Beat to the afternoons, be on from 1 to 4 p.m. So you get 3 hours of Brian's Beat instead of two, which is something Brian has wanted for a while, and also not to have to get up early on Saturdays because he's up late on Fridays. So should work out well. Looking forward to that. That'll launch on May 3rd, so a little bit less than a month away. All right, now it's time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
More tariffs on China going into effect. Resentencing for the Menendez brothers. And a new Billy Joel special.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump's special envoy to the Middle East is set to lead nuclear talks with Iran on Saturday.
U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff will lead the talks on behalf of the United States, which is set to focus on Iran's nuclear program. In an online post, Iran's foreign minister described the talks as an opportunity as much as it is a test, going on to say that the ball is in America's court. Direct talks between Washington and Tehran haven't taken place in a decade. Speaking Monday at the White House, President Trump said Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon, and if the talks aren't successful, Iran will be in great danger. That follows earlier comments from the president to NBC News, where he said if Iran doesn't make a deal, there will be bombing. Trent Murray, Tel Aviv.
President Donald Trump's 104% tariffs on China have officially taken effect, along with tariffs impacting dozens of other countries. The average tariff is 29%, some as high as 40%. China faces the steep number due to new tariffs imposed by Trump, on top of levies from his first term. The Menendez brothers' resentencing hearing is set for this week. Tammy Trujillo has an update.
New Los Angeles DA Nathan Hochman plans to ask a judge to withdraw a previous resentencing request, claiming the brothers have shown no remorse.
One filed by the court, one filed by the prior district attorney. We're prepared to go forward with the court's motion. We've asked the court to allow us to withdraw the prior district attorney's motion.
Lyle and Eric Menendez have been serving life sentences for the 1989 murders of their parents in their Beverly Hills home. Last October, then District Attorney George Gascon recommended resentencing for the brothers, who claimed they were sexually abused by their father and that their mother was aware. The entire hearing on Friday may be moot after California Governor Gavin Newsom sent the case to the parole board.
Officials in Florida say death row inmate Michael Tansey has been executed. The 48-year-old died by lethal injection last night at the Florida State Prison. Tansey was put to death for the 2000 kidnapping and murder of Miami Herald employee Janet Acosta. It's the nation's 11th execution in 2025 and the third in Florida. An HBO original two-part documentary called Billy Joel and So It Goes will be opening at the Tribeca Film Festival in New York this summer. Mark Mayfield has details.
Sing us a song, you're the piano man. Sing us a song tonight.
The announcement was made by the festival's CEO and co-founder, Jane Rosenthal. This year's festival lineup hasn't been announced yet, but organizers say it will be soon. The festival runs from June 4th through the 15th. Festival goers can buy passes and tickets at TribecaFilm.com. I'm Mark Mayfield.
The acting IRS commissioner is resigning. Multiple reports say Melanie Krause is stepping down after the agency agreed to share illegal immigrants' tax information with federal immigration agents. Krause is the third person to lead the agency since January. Doug O'Donnell was an acting commissioner until his retirement last month. The Restore Roosevelt Avenue Coalition wants the feds to investigate prostitution in Queens.
The coalition is urging the FBI and DEA to step in to stop prostitution on Roosevelt Avenue in Jackson Heights. They set up their microphones on Tuesday in front of what they called an active brothel.
These are cartels, these are organized mobs, and they must be stopped.
Former State Senator Hiram Montserrat, he says in addition to prostitution, these international groups engage in human trafficking, illegal gun and narcotic sales, and identity theft. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Authorities in Virginia say three people are dead following a shooting in Spotsylvania County. Three others were injured when multiple shots were fired around 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday. The sheriff's office says deputies found all six victims outdoors. There are no suspects, and the ages of the victims have not been released. Spotsylvania County is about 65 miles south of Washington, D.C.
WBSM Sports.
The Celtics hung on to beat the Knicks in overtime 119-117 last night. Seas are in Orlando tonight. Blue Jays over the Red Sox 6-1. Those two teams back at it tonight at 6:45. Bruins over the Devils 7-2. The Chicago Blackhawks come to Boston, take on the Bruins tomorrow at 7.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Sunshine today, 46, clear and colder tonight, 29, partly cloudy tomorrow, 47, showers on Friday, 50. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, and 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and chime in. You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And, of course, you heard that the news is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Want to let you know about a couple of events that Stevie's has coming up. This Friday, from 5 to 7 p.m., they're going to have a tasting event with Vermont Spirits number 14. It is an American bourbon whiskey finished with pure Vermont maple syrup. And it's probably one of my favorite of the maple bourbons. It's very good. The bourbon is infused with maple flavor. It's not like these others where you can tell they're just adding the flavor in after the fact. They're just taking their regular bourbon and saying, well, now let's put some maple flavor in there. No, this is something that's actually infused in the distilling process. and really stands out as the way to blend maple into a bourbon. Because it's not too maple-y. It's not too saccharine sweet. It has a nice balance. So you can try that this Friday from 5 to 7 at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. And then on Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m., they're going to have a craft beer and ready-to-drink cocktail tasting event happening from 2 to 4. So you can go and try some different craft beers, some ready-to-drink cocktails. They're going to have over 5 vendors there. And, of course, those 5 vendors will all be sampling multiple things. So, again, Friday, 5 to 7, try some number 14 American bourbon with maple flavor. And on Saturday, from 2 to 4, craft beer and ready-to-drink cocktail tasting. It's all happening at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. And it's also the home of the Purple Dot, where anything that has a Purple Dot next to it on the shelf, you can ask for a sample before you purchase it. When I was there for the Portuguese wine tasting on Friday, I actually was bringing some people around and saying, look, Purple Dot, you can try that. Look, Purple Dot, you can try that. 508-996-0500. So the governor was in New Bedford yesterday. Governor Healey was here for an appearance at the Veterans Transition House. Standard Times has a nice story on it. I know Paul Santos was there talking to the governor as well. I saw him post that on Facebook. He did ask her about her stance on the Trump policies. But she was really there to talk about how New Bedford has, quote, done it right and continues to get it right when it comes to providing housing and services for New Bedford, for veterans, rather. So that's something that we should definitely feel proud that the city is able to take care of its vets. Speaking of which, hold on one second. I just wanted to grab this paper here and let you know the 3rd annual clam boil is coming for the New Bedford Disabled American Veterans Regional Chapter. It's their 3rd annual clam boil. It's taking place at Danny Seafood in New Bedford between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. on May 19th. So tickets are $50 each. You can get them at Danny Seafood. You can get them there. You can get them at the Disabled American Veterans Chapter located at 19 Willis Street in New Bedford on Tuesday and Thursday mornings between 9 a.m. and noon. Tickets must be purchased by May 16th. They're going to have all kinds of prizes that they're going to be giving away as part of this. More than 10 door prizes, including 5 $20 Danny Seafood gift cards, will be raffled off at 7 p.m. that night. You don't need to be present to win. Again, it's happening on May 19th. From 4 to 7 p.m. at Danny Seafood, $50 to take part. Meals will be served all you can eat and family style. So if you're familiar with family style, that's where they just bring plates of stuff out, large portions of things out, and place it on the table, and everybody kind of helps themselves. Kind of like the old Rocky Point Shore dinner hall, like the Sunday chicken dinners they used to do at the Century House. Family style. Everybody's kind of sitting together and just help yourself. And all you can eat. All you can eat clam boil for $50. That's a great deal. And it goes to helping disabled American veterans here in New Bedford. We'll let you know about that a few more times as we get closer to the event as well. The Standard Times, or SouthCoastToday.com, also has a story today about some of the upcoming additions to the Dartmouth Mall. Now, we've covered a lot of the store closings that are happening. It seems like every week there's a new store that's closing locations. And some of them have affected the Dartmouth Mall. But they've also done a great job of finding new tenants to move into some of those spaces. There's a few empty stores over there, but for the most part, that mall is very vibrant when other malls have failed. You no longer have a Swansea Mall. You no longer have a Silver City Galleria. You have a what's now called the Kingston Collection, the Independence Mall, kind of on life support. Or I'd say kind of a different model now than what a mall used to be. Providence Place in receivership. There's malls are struggling. People would rather shop at a place like Wareham Crossing, where it's a number of stores all in one location but not connected, than to go to a mall and have to walk through a mall to get to what store they want to go to. So why does the Dartmouth Mall succeed? And so this story that the Standard Times put out looks at some of those reasons. One of the reasons is it's close by to a lot of people. A lot of people would say, I'd rather go to the Dartmouth Mall and drive to Providence or drive to Kingston. But another reason is the layout and design of the mall is a big reason why. I mean, think of the Westgate Mall. If you've ever been to the Westgate Mall. Or the Cape Cod Mall. There's not a lot of entrances into those malls. So if you want to go to some stores that are in the middle, you got to get in, you got to walk through the mall. They might have changed the Cape Cod Mall. It's been a long time since I walked through that mall. But in the past, they didn't have a lot of entrances. Dartmouth is lucky in the way that it has multiple entrance points. Some of its key stores you can get into without even having to walk into the mall. Even if you want to go to Old Navy, you just have to walk in through over by the theater or over by Buffalo Wild Wings, and it's a short walk through the mall. Or if you want to go to JCPenney, you can walk right into the store. You want to go to Burlington, you can walk right into the store. Macy's, walk right into the store. Five Below, walk right into the store. I think that's a big advantage. You've got Aldi, you've got Ulta. They're not even connected into the mall. So you're seeing less of a need to have that mall experience if you want to go to those stores. But yet you go walk through the mall, there's always plenty of people walking through it. Because it's one level. It's a straight line for the most part. It's not overly encumbering to walk through it. You know, and nothing was worse to me back in the day of going to like the Silver City Galleria and realizing, I wanted to get something at that store way back there, and now I've got to go make my way through all those people again to get down to that store. You know what? Forget it. I just won't go. Like, it would be daunting if the mall was busy. To have to push through that sea of humanity. So I think that a lot of those factors have helped the mall. And there's new things that are coming. They've got the Cinnabon Carvel stand that is under construction right now outside of JCPenney. Does that mean you're going to be able to go get Fudgy the Whale and Cookie Puss? I don't know. But you'll at least be able to get soft serve ice cream. And as teased in the article, there's also a new entertainment option coming to the mall that mall management said people would be very excited about, but they didn't give any more details than that. I don't know what that means. But it sounds pretty exciting. Are you a mall person, or do you prefer just to go to the one store you need to go to? 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. All right, we are going to be, well, I got to take another break here coming up in just a moment. But before I do that, I'll remind you that coming up in the next hour will be your first cash code of the day for Money Talks. That's right, your first three-digit PIN that could unlock for you $1,000. So all you have to do is keep listening. When you hear it, enter it in at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app on the page for Money Talks. Don't just send it in an app chat message, which thankfully we haven't been getting any of those. Seems like everybody kind of understands how to play, but you can find those boxes unlocked each and every day for the 10 codes that you'll get each day. And now, not tomorrow, but starting the Thursday after, we'll have $10,000 Thursdays. So that'll make it even more exciting as you try to make that Money Talk here on WBSM. And it's brought to you by Long Moving and Storage. So read more about it at WBSM.com or on the app. We're going to take our final break of this hour and be right back. All right, we are going to be heading into the news in just a moment. We'll get the national news with ABC, the latest on the tariffs, which were going to go into effect at midnight last night, and so much more. And then on the other side of that, Mike Roberts will have all of your local news, and we can discuss it when we come back. 508-996-0500. I believe.